So, man, I'll tell you what, it is good to be here. It's just going. I left it going. Yeah, I got Pete's introduction on there, so I got it going. Man, it's good to see everybody. Always good to be at the forum. Always feel welcome here. Always feel blessed to be here. And this is a privilege. Privilege for me, I know. And the blessing is always ours. Brought the brood with me this time, as you can see. My daughter and her husband, Stephanie and Tony. And if you wonder what the noise is in the background, the dull roar on Pal Talk, if you tune in on Pal Talk, if you wonder what the dull roar is on Sunday mornings, that would be three of the dull roars right over there. So, but I tell you what, I'm glad to have them with us. And I'm glad that they're interested enough in this truth to make the long trip. And I did discover it takes a little bit longer with three little ones coming up. And we got a little bit of a late start this morning, so I wasn't able to make the board meeting. But maybe Mike stood in for me. I hear we got volunteered for some stuff, so that's always comforting. Yeah. That's the way it is at work. The biggest reason to make a meeting at work is to make sure that you don't get volunteered for something. So that's the way that goes. I am bringing greetings from everybody, all the saints in South Carolina that could not be here. Of course, Mom and Dad and Chip and Lulu, Tony and Candy, Carolyn and Lonnie and Jesse, and my mom and Herschel, Lori's mom. So they send their hellos and regards and thanks for all the prayers, especially for Mom. Most of you know Mom's had some health problems. So the Lord's helping her through that, and we're thankful for that. Let's see. I think that does about all my preamble ramble there. So before we get started, let's go before the Lord in prayer and thank Him for all that He's done for us. So bow with me if you would. Father, we come again and we thank You for this time. We thank You for these that have made their way here. Father, for traveling grace, we're so thankful. Father, for the ones that You've given us for this fellowship that we have, and Father, the knit together that we always feel when we're here. Father, we thank You for these people and the testimony that they stand for. Father, their love of the Word, we thank You for that. And we ask that if it be Thy will that You would bless this study and bless those that have come this way. God, bless all the speakers with the power of the Holy Spirit and give them the words that You would have them to speak from the mouths of clay, that Your word would be put forth as You would have it done and not as they would. Father, thank You for all things that we have in Christ. Thank You for this hope in the heavenly places that we so enjoy reading about, but Father, know that it pales in comparison to the day when we'll be manifested there in Him, for it's in His name tonight we do pray. Amen. And thank you much. All right, let's get started. How many of you brought your Bibles? This is a Bible study, you know. Okay, good. Everybody passed. So far, so good. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we've been going over in our studies at home, we've been going through Acts, what I was telling the guys here earlier. We've been going through Acts, and this is probably my fifth trip through the book of Acts. And I was making some statements about how amazed I always am that every time I go through it, whether I teach it or whether I'm a student, I seem to see things that I didn't see the first time. And that's what I call the little aha moments, the little nuggets that you find. And if you've never experienced that, if you've never had something shown to you by the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, then you are cheating yourself out of a blessing, let me tell you. This is one of the greatest feelings you'll ever have, is to see something by studying on your own that you've never seen before. Doesn't matter how many times you've been through it. When you go through it again, it is the unsearchable riches, and you will typically find something that you didn't see last time. I always do. I don't know how that is, Tony. But I always do. Every time I go through it, I see something new. So we've been going through Acts, so it's a little bit of treat for me to jump over to Bob Steen this time. I don't take me wrong, I get plenty out of anywhere I look in God's Word. And I'm certainly getting a lot out of the book of Acts. And I tell you, Barney's studies are really helping me in that, and Mike's as well. Barney's doing one on the kingdom. He's doing a little series on the kingdom that I'm trying to get a hold of recordings on. And I'm going to have a word of prayer with him about recording these and getting them to me. I'll talk with Kelly about that later. Kelly and I will take care of that. But anyway, and Mike's studying Romans that he's doing on Tuesday nights on the Mysterion Truth Bible Study Voice Room is phenomenal. So it's amazing to me how all these that we're doing, if you think about it, they're all kingdom related, helping us understand more about the Book of Acts and the way God was dealing with them, and Romans and the kingdom study and the Acts study are all kind of just melded together. And it's awesome. Because when I study, then I hear Barney, then I hear Mike, and it all goes together. And it's edifying for me as far as that goes. But then I hear Bob. Bob's doing a study on 2 Timothy, and I think Roger's doing a one on 1 Timothy, if I'm not mistaken. And so those two are church-related books. They're church books. And that's always a good charge, but I saw when we were talking about the theme this year that we're in Ephesians 4. And I said, well, this is going to be great. And it was. But I'm not going to talk about Ephesians 4. Not right on. But let's read it. Let's read it. And we'll get back to it. We're going to go around the horn sort of to get there. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. What I'm going to do, although the theme is verses 3 through 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read all the way down through verse 16 to get the context and to get everybody kind of in the mood of what's going on here with the Apostle Paul at this time. Because if I had to pick the chapter break, that's probably at 4:1, that's probably a pretty good place to break it. So let's begin. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:1 through 16. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, he's already told them this in the third chapter in the first verse. He said, therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So he's already laid this out. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So we see a therefore, and I want you to think about these things before we get into them. You immediately see the word therefore and beseech. Two important words in that sentence. And we'll circle back around to that, but kind of keep that in the back of your mind. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, sounds like some instructions here to me. You mean there's instructions to go along with this? Sure appears that way. He says in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He asked a question there. Then he says this in 10. He said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So there's that fullness mentioned again. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Barney, how far did you fly to get edified tonight. What is that? 1,700 miles. That's probably the record. Anybody from any further away than Arizona? But isn't that why we're here? That's why I'm here. I want to be edified by what I hear. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ from what I hear. And I hope that's your reason for being here. If it's not, you know, we need to look at our reasons. For the edifying of the body of Christ till. There's a point out in space called till. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's that word unity again. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. You gotta grow up. Can't be a kid anymore, you gotta grow up. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Paul equates that with being a child. With not being able to make up your mind what you believe. I was telling them a while ago, my grandpa told the Jehovah's Witnesses one time, don't go confusing me about what I believe. It took a McCurry to say that. Only a McCurry could say that and get away with it. He said, don't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love. You gotta do it in love. You can't do it to pump yourself up or to pump anybody else up. You gotta do it because you love the guy. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now everybody understood every word of what I just read, right? Got it all figured out. We could sit here for years, literally years, and try to digest what those scriptures say that I just read. But I pretty much get the gist of it. I think I get the gist of it. Now, we read 1 through 16, but now the conference theme is verses 3 through 7. And I believe this scripture spells out our charge. The scripture I just read spells out our charge as members of what? Members of the body of Christ. And I trust everyone here is either here because you are one or here because you want to know what that's all about. There's only two reasons you would be here. You either already understand it and you want to be edified, or you're curious about what it is. And the answer's in this book. The scripture spells out our charge here. Look at that word beseech back in chapter 4, verse 1. Go back to chapter 4, 1. You see, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Because of what I've just told you, because of what I've laid out for you, because of what God has revealed to me that He has never shown to a man before, I beseech you. And to beseech, that's the Greek word parakaleo. And I'm making no claims of being a perfect Greek pronunciator. Parakaleo. It means to call aside or to appeal to by exhortation or to entreat. Now, this charge, this scripture here, is given to Paul by the Holy Spirit after the glorious revelation of our hope in Christ was unveiled in Ephesians 3, 1 through 21. Did you know that? When Paul got Ephesians 3, 1 through 21, that necessitated the need for the beseech. You know how I know? Look at the word therefore. Look at the word therefore in verse 1. You see where Paul says, I, therefore? Dad has this little saying about that word. It's an interesting word. You need to know, if you see therefore, then you need to know what it's there for. That's pretty simple. It's pretty good, you know. Not too bad. It's kind of easy to remember too. And that's good for me. When Paul says, I therefore, there is something that is there for us to see. And what's there for us to see is the revelation, as I mentioned earlier. And like I said, this was a treat to get to go back and look at this and get refreshed in it. The revelation of our hope, the reason that I'm here, the hope of the church, the body of Christ, in the heavenly places, far above all. That's the reason, Paul says, therefore. Along with the blessing of the calling comes the beseeching of the walk. Do you see how they go together? You can't separate them. The book is the book. They go together, one right behind the other. And Paul refers to the hope when he tells you that he's basically saying, guys, you know, look what I've told you. Now that I've told you this, here's what we got to do. Have you ever been in one of those meetings? They'll call you in and say, oh, we got this problem or that problem, and we're going to have to set up a rework line, and we got to stop everything that's coming in and run it through this rework line and redo it and put it back in the box, and you're sitting there, oh, not again. You know, they call you in, they tell you what the deal is, then they tell you what you got to do to take care of it. Well, that's what we've got here. You don't get the blessing without the walk that goes with it. They go hand in hand. So let's look and see what he says. I think it behooves us, if we're going to understand why we're being asked to walk a certain way, I think it behooves us at least, wouldn't you agree, to go back and see what this hope is? I'm dying to read it, and I'm going to read it whether you want to hear it or not. So let's go back, let's go back to Ephesians 3:1. Ephesians 3. Now, this is a parenthesis. This whole chapter, I believe. I agree with Bullinger on this one. I believe it's a parenthesis put in there to tell us something. To get us up to speed. We got a little of it in the first two chapters. But man, Paul, he throws the floodgates open in the third chapter. He gives us, as Paul Harvey would say, kind of the rest of the story. Or he gives us as much as we can bear in this flesh. Because, you know, let's admit it, we all sit around and talk about, well, how's it going to be? How's it going to be when we're manifested there? What's it going to look like? What kind of bodies are we going to have? Are we going to be part of His body, or are we going to be at Congress over here? Or what is it going to be? We have all these questions. I do. I still have them. But overall, Barney said it best the other day, 97% of this book is not about us. There is precious little scripture in here that applies directly to us. Now, I'm not saying we can't open this book and learn about God from every word on every page. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, dispensationally speaking, that a very small percentage is. I figured it up at Mark's conference one time. What was it? 3.7%? If you look at verses as being the whole of the Bible and you count all the verses and just do the math, I think it was 3.7% that contained the seven books of the church truth. And then you couple that with the book of John that I believe is for us today. Salvation by faith through grace through His name. I believe that's for us today. You can agree or disagree. But when you put all of it together, the parts in Genesis that deal with the Gentiles, when you put all that together, you probably got 4 or maybe 5%. The rest of this book is about the nation of Israel. Their law, their history, their prophecy, their prophets, their calling, their land. Everything else in there deals with the nation of Israel. They truly were the apple of God's eye for centuries and centuries and centuries. So there's very precious little of it here for us. as far as applies to our hope goes. But let's read Ephesians 3, because this does. I believe this does, and I believe this is our hope straight up and down. He says in 3:1, Paul says, for this cause. See, he continually refers back to something he's already said. It's like laying blocks. When he puts those blocks down, then he builds another row of blocks. Then he builds another row of blocks. He just keeps stacking it up. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard, and I'm going to read it in English, but of course all of you scholars know that a lot of these words are different or should be left out or whatever, but I'm going to read it in the English, in the King James English. He says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Because guess what? He was the only one at this time that pretty much had any knowledge in it. He was the chosen man to go to the Gentiles. He said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be joint heirs. I will change that one. Not fellow heirs, but joint heirs. And of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. He never forgave himself for some of the things that he did in his past life. God forgave him. But I don't believe Paul ever forgave himself. I believe he carried that with him till the day he died. You can agree or disagree, but I believe he did. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or untraceable. You can't trace them back to anything. Riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the dispensation, I'll change that one too, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And there's an intent to that. Did God just do all this for no reason? No. Remember in the previous reading, I said there's a till somewhere out there? A till that has to be attained to? Well, there's an intent here that has to be attained to. God's not doing all this helter-skelter. He's doing it with an intent. And what I think the other guys are going to do when they come up here is they're going to tell you about the walk that you're going to see in Ephesians 4. But what I want to tell you, and what I want you to understand from my study tonight, is the reason we have to walk that way. It's because of what He's given us. Because of what He's given us. Here's the intent. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's His reason? Yeah, it is. That unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now think about this. Might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose. So He does have a purpose. He always has had a purpose. God has never been without purpose. Everything that happens, happens according, I believe, to that purpose. Whether we like them or not. A lot of times we don't like them. According to the eternal purpose, verse 11, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Not by our faith, but by the faith of Him. He says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees, and I believe at this point He did get on His knees when He got this. This is a prayer. In my opinion, we're looking at a prayer in 14 through 21. And again, I say that's Ronnie's opinion. Think about it. He says, for this cause, because of this, laying another block, boom. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, He keeps them separated. Even though we know they're one, He keeps them separated. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant unto you. See, here's the supplication. Here's what He's asking. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He prays that you'll be strengthened by His Spirit inside you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Not by any other reason, but by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded, what? In love. It all comes back to the love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So see, we're going to feel Him, but guess what? We're going to get a filling out of it too, evidently. Now unto Him, verse 20, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And here's the magic verse, I think, in verse 21. This is the one that jumped out at me when I read it. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, let me read you that term again. I've got somewhere in here where I took it. Oh, here it is. Ephesians 3:21. I believe it should read like this. And you Greek scholars, check me on this. Paul says, to Him being, I believe, God the Father, to Him the glory within the church, within Christ Jesus. Do you see that? The glory within the church, within Christ Jesus, to all the generations of the age of the ages. Are we in the age of the ages? Have you ever wondered about that? I believe we're in the last age. I believe when this age that we're in comes to an end, and I don't believe there's one thing that needs to be fulfilled in Scripture to keep that from happening. It could happen before we leave here. You can agree or disagree. I hope it does. It suits me just fine. It could happen before we leave here, and we will be manifested with Him there as part of His body. Do I understand all the nuts and bolts of that? No, I do not. Do I understand enough about that to have faith in it? Yes, I do. Absolutely. I can't tell you every little inkling of it. I can only tell you what I see in Scripture, and then even that is Ronnie's interpretation. But you got to study it out for yourself. Let me read it again. I believe it should read this. To Him the glory within the church, within Christ Jesus. Do you see one within the other? The glory within the church, within Christ Jesus. To all the generations of the age of the ages. Whenever God, in His timetable, and time comes full, whenever God says time is full, and we are manifested with Him there as part of His body, Christ is at that point complete. We will be complete in Him, and He will be complete in us. We will be, as it says, filled with Him. I don't understand all I know about that. But I know this, that once He's complete, things are going to happen. I believe we sit here and wait, literally wait, and pray for every day the next big thing on the horizon as far as God's concerned. Right now, God is silent except for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and on this planet. God's voice is not going to boom forth from heaven. If you say, Lord, you go up on a tall building and you say, Lord, Mike, don't do this. Lord, I'm going to jump off of this building and I want you to stop me right before I get to the ground and not let me die. Guess what? You're going to hit the ground like a sack of cement, and that's going to be it. Why? Now, there were dispensations where you might could have got by with that. I've seen dispensations in the book of Acts where they can raise people from the dead. They can cast demons out of people. They can heal them of any disease that they have. They could see whether they were lying to the Holy Spirit or not. And these people would just fall down dead. And the guys would come in and haul them out. That happened. It's in the book. I believe it happened. You have to believe it happened if you believe this book. And there's a power there, folks. As a side note, there's a power there that's available to us that I haven't figured out yet either, that I see in Ephesians. It's that resurrection power that he talks about, the one that brought Christ out of the dead. I don't understand all I know about that yet either, but I'm getting there. So I basically said all this. That this completing to fullness of His Son by us, the members of His body, is accomplished in the heavenlies, so that rulers and authorities there, that's Ephesians 3, 10 through 11 again, that intrigues me. So that those rulers and authorities, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, so that they will see the culmination of God's eternal purpose in Christ and understand His manifold, very various, much variegated wisdom. For some reason, God is going to take us and complete His Son so that He can show rulers and authorities in the heavenly places how multifaceted His wisdom is. Did I say that right, Jack? Isn't that something? You are going to be a spectacle for beings that you've never seen. You ever thought about that? That's a pretty sobering thought, if you ask me. Y'all pretty quiet. Zup, Kelly, she's always giggling. Sorry, Kelly. Well, let me close with this statement. I like to write a conclusion in my studies. I don't know if I'm early or late. I didn't look. And here's my conclusion. And I want you to think about what I've just said about what our calling is as these guys that you're going to hear get into why we have to walk the way we do. Because we basically have kind of a law to ourselves. You know, don't go and nail the Ten Commandments up in your yard. You hear me talk about that on Pile Talk all the time. We got somebody around the house is printing these things. And you can go and get them and people get them, boom, right down at the end of their driveway. They got the Ten Commandments there. Well, no, I know where that guy is. He's signed, sealed, and delivered it to me at the end of his driveway. I don't even need to go up the driveway. But we have, per se, a law. Dare I say law? Can we say that 4 through 6 of Ephesians is a law? Does Paul beseech us to do something? I believe he does. At least it looks like it does to me. Let me read my conclusion and I'm done. What I want you to see is the point. The point is, I'm setting the stage for the other guys to come in here and tell you about this walk that we're expected to walk. And I'm probably the worst example you could find of how it should be done. And I'll tell you that right up front. But here's my conclusion. I just want to make sure you got the point of the study. Our calling and manifestation in glory consummates God's eternal purpose in Christ and begins the remaining yet-to-be-fulfilled events in Scripture that bring God and creation together once again as all in all. Did everybody hear that? It'll be on the tape. Everybody understand what I said? Our calling and manifestation in glory consummates God's eternal purpose. It'll be the epic event that begins all of the end of existence as we know it, and it will begin a new existence where the rest of God's prophecies are fulfilled. I believe that. I believe that with a completed Christ, because He is not complete or the Scripture is wrong. Either Christ is not complete or the Scripture is wrong. That's the same thing as denying that He died. You can't deny Christ died, because if He did, guess what? You're yet in your sins. Paul says that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. So I'll argue with anybody about Christ being dead. And Jonah was dead too. He wasn't camping down in the belly of the fish. He was dead. That's the point. Our calling and manifestation in glory consummates God's eternal purpose in Christ and begins the remaining yet-to-be-fulfilled events in Scripture that bring God and creation together once again. There'll be no rift. There'll be no sin. There'll be no division. There will only once again be one will in the universe, and that will be God's. That brings God and creation together once again as all in all. Read it in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn there right quickly and we'll close. Or I'll close my part anyway. Got to get Jack up here. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 26. Paul says this, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." That's where we're going. If you want to find the final purpose in Scripture, the ultimate end of everything, the Big Bang, that's it. That God may be all, and that God may be in all. Bow with me. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these that have come this way. Father, we pray that the words were said and done for the uplifting of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that these here would be edified. Father, thank you again for all that we have through Him and by Him. And Father, thank you again for that precious blood that He gave for us that buys us that which we could never buy for ourselves. Thank you again. Thank you again for your word. For it's in Christ's name we do humbly pray. Amen. And I'm done. Thank you.